The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional, so why settle for a flimsy, irritating one that breaks? At scapulars.com, they use super strong American paracord, because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your heavenly mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with their distinctive deliverance cross, and Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Go to scapulars.com today.
Hello and welcome back to A Reason for Hope. My name is Mario Costabile and I am honored that you're joining us and listening to us today. Thanks for tuning in to A Reason for Hope podcast, your resource for interviews, catechesis, and candid conversations about our Catholic faith. Also, if you'd like to send us any of your thoughts or ideas, you can email us at podcast@arrayofhope.net. Make sure that you subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast app so we can walk together on this journey of faith. And lastly, please prayerfully consider going to our donation page so you can help us do our work and serve the church. Our partnership with you will allow us to continue to create these podcasts. You can go to arrayofhope.org and navigate to the donation page. So today, David and I will continue our discussion about the Creed. So let's get into it. And here we go. So welcome back, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah. I'm psyched to be talking about the Creed.
Yeah, it's good. I love this series that really allows the listener and us to go a little bit deeper on, you know, what the Creed states and what we believe as Catholics, proclaiming the Creed that we say every Sunday. And a lot of the articles that we've been sharing prior to this podcast is about the important facts of Jesus's life, right? Yeah. But today we're going to discuss the third article of the Creed, which is who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot there.
What do you think?
I'm psyched.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
Let's do it.
Well, all right. It seems that there are two things that we need to address here. The virginal conception, right? And the birth of Jesus.
Okay.
So there's like two things.
Yeah, most people know about the virginal conception, that the angel Gabriel appears to Mary.
Yeah.
And even though she was a virgin and actually was consecrated as a virgin, even though she was betrothed to Joseph, the tradition of the church indicates that both Mary and Joseph likely had made vows of virginity. So their marriage was going to be a celibate marriage. And I'll come back to that in a moment because there's an important tidbit in the conversation with the angel Gabriel that would indicate this about Mary. But most people know about that. So most people know there was no earthly father for Jesus. He was miraculously conceived in the womb of Mary by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. But what most people don't know is that the virgin birth itself is miraculous, that it was a supernatural event, and that's actually an article of faith, that's something that we have to believe as Catholics, that Jesus was not born in a natural way. And this will probably lead to a conversation about the perpetual virginity of the Virgin Mary, because we call Mary by title the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that means she was not only a virgin when she conceived, she remained a virgin when Jesus was born. And because I don't know if you knew this, but the woman would not be considered a virgin if she actually gave birth. So it wasn't just not, actually yeah. having sex, it was also actually giving birth. So her virginity would have to remain intact even in the birthing process. And then we believe that she was perpetually a virgin, that she never engaged in sexual relations throughout her entire life. So all of those things are articles of faith, and they're all sort of like hidden and encapsulated in this article.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So now the virginal conception of Jesus, right? The Gospel of Luke treats it as a conversation between the angel Gabriel and Mary.
Right.
So what do we learn from this?
Yeah. So the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, announces the Annunciation, announces to Mary that she's been chosen by God to be the mother of God's son. And of course, this is troubling to Mary. The greeting of the angel is troubling to Mary. That's an interesting part in and of itself. What was the greeting? Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. This is the greeting that was troubling to Mary. And it was troubling because here's an angel hailing Mary, using language of Mary being a queen. See? Hail, Mary. Mm-hmm. And then calls her full of grace. And that's in and of itself interesting because the angel doesn't say, Hail Mary, full of grace, like we do in the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, Hail, full of grace, as if full of grace is her name.
Mm.
Right. So what does full of grace mean? I mean, she's filled with God, that she is, this is an indication that she is free from all stain of sin. That there's if she's full, there's no part of her that is not graced, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a powerful thing. This is what troubles her. And probably troubles her not only because she doesn't understand it probably because she's incredibly humble and doesn't get why the angel is treating her like this.
Mm.
We are all called to be good stewards, whether that means making wise financial decisions for our families, for our parishes, or for organizations that we may advise or direct. Owning gold and silver is easy, and we're happy to be partnered with St. Joseph's, who has exclusively focused on helping families protect their wealth in gold and silver for over a decade. Their pricing is very competitive, and their dedicated retirement team was recognized last year as only one of two dealers in the nation who meet the stringent criteria of integrity, value, and dependability by an independent trust company. Take the steps today to protect your family from potential financial stress and allocate some of your hard-earned dollars to gold and silver as good stewards. Go to www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope to learn how you can protect your loved ones at this important moment in history. Again, that is www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope.
So if you're wondering how you can help this ministry, rating and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help others hear it, as well as sharing it with your friends and your family. So join us in this mission by rating, reviewing, or sharing this episode with someone you think needs to hear it. And we want to thank you for your continued support of A Reason for Hope podcast.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I just wanted to pull a little bit more something out of you. Kind of mentioned it before. So Mary was a virgin when she conceived Jesus, and he was miraculously conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. But the biological material was Mary's.
Yeah. Exactly. So there was no human father.
Right.
And her question to the angel was really asked because she, Joseph, by tradition, had taken a vow of virginity. So what about that virgin birth?
Yeah, okay. So the reason why the angel is questioned by Mary, this is something I've always wondered about, because prior to this, John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was in the temple, and Gabriel appears to Zechariah and tells Zechariah that his wife, Elizabeth, who's been barren and is on in years, is going to conceive a son. Zechariah basically says, well, how can this be? You know, I'm old, she's old. And Gabriel gets angry and then, you know, strikes him dumb so he can't speak. And he doesn't speak again until John the Baptist is named and circumcised, right? Which is like crazy. And that's, of course, where the Benedictus comes from. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has visited his people and set them free. That's the canticle of Zechariah. Now, Mary also questions Gabriel. So why did Zechariah get treated so, like, severely? And Gabriel just simply answers Mary's question. It's because Mary wasn't asking a question about God's capability of doing this. Mary was trying to find out how God was going to do this, because she had made a vow of virginity. And so she says to the angel, how can this be since I know not man? Not I haven't ever had sex with, some modern translation says I've never had intercourse with a man. It's like, that's a terrible translation of that.
Yeah.
Since I know not man, meaning like I'm vowed to be a virgin. Basically, she's asking, do I no longer, am I no longer supposed to be a virgin? Are Joseph and I supposed to have a regular marriage? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
And that's when the angel says, no, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you, and the one conceived within you will be known as the Son of God. So basically, Gabriel's saying, no, you don't have to cease being a virgin. No, that's actually part of the point.
It's right? Part of the plan.
That's part of the plan. So now, this kind of goes to the part you're asking about the virgin birth, because now comes time for Mary to give birth, and it's actually the church's teaching that Jesus was not born naturally from Mary. So that's why, by the way, whenever you see like depictions of the nativity and Mary seems like she's in a normal labor and she's like, you know, crying out in pain, and everything would seem to be a normal labor, like the baby has to get cleaned off and all this sort of thing. Those are actually not true. That's not what Catholics believe. That's in a way, it's heretical to believe that.
It's theatrics.
Yeah, but it's also drama. People are ignorant. People don't know. And I would say probably a lot of our listeners and viewers wouldn't know that the church teaches that Jesus actually passed miraculously through her stomach. And this is a longstanding teaching. And in fact, there's this quote that I'm going to read from the Roman Catechism, which is the catechism that was developed after the Council of Trent. And it says this, "But as the conception itself transcends the order of nature, so also the birth of our Lord presents to our contemplation nothing but what is divine. Besides, what is admirable beyond the power of our thoughts or words to express, he is born of his mother without any diminution of her maternal virginity, just as he afterwards went forth from the sepulcher while it was still closed and sealed, and entered the room in which his disciples were assembled, the doors being shut. Or, not to depart from everyday examples, just as the rays of the sun penetrate without breaking or injuring in the least the solid substance of glass, so after a like but more exalted manner did Jesus Christ come forth from his mother's womb without injury to her maternal virginity. This wow. immaculate and perpetual virginity forms, therefore, the just theme of our eulogy. Such was the work of the Holy Ghost, who at the conception and birth of the Son so favored the Virgin Mother as to impart to her fecundity while preserving inviolate her perpetual virginity."
Wow. Wow. That's pretty incredible.
So notice the image. It's like Jesus passing into the upper room, though the doors are locked, or coming out of the tomb, though the rock is and the stone is in front of the sepulcher. You know, like these images of the rays of the sun coming through glass without breaking the glass. These are the images used by the creators of the Roman Catechism, which is the official, by the way, was the official catechism of the Catholic Church up until the new catechism, and still is true, even though there's been a new catechism to express the faith in new language to contemporary men and women. The fact is, it's clear that the church believed it to be something all Catholics must believe, that Mary did not have a natural childbirth. So this is why it's the virgin birth. And what's really kind of interesting about this is that you tell people this and they have a hard time grasping it. Yet somehow they have no problem accepting that there was a conception without a man. That miracle I'm cool with, but somehow that she was somehow preserved, like that's like, no, I can't believe that. Well, why not? That's actually the lesser of the miracles.
That's right.
You know, like, but yet nevertheless, that's what we believe.
So this passage mentions her perpetual virginity. How is that implied?
Yeah, because Mary is called the Virgin Mary. He was born of the Virgin Mary. It's not talking about, you know, Mary who was a virgin when he was conceived, or Mary who was a virgin when he was born. the very title Virgin Mary implies that she was perpetually a virgin.
Mm.
And this has always been the teaching of the church from the earliest
right.
times,
mm-hmm.
that Mary was believed to be perpetually a virgin, that her and Joseph lived a life of celibacy, and that she had this vow of virginity that she kept. She was a consecrated virgin, and that Joseph was too. So this is also an article of faith that we must believe.
Mm-hmm. So you stated that Joseph and Mary both took a vow of virginity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get married. So, I mean, what is the point of that? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that first and foremost, the thing to keep in mind is that just because people have dedicated themselves fully to God, which giving the gift of one's virginity to God is obviously a sign of giving oneself totally to God,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you don't live in community or you can't live in mutual support. So that's the first. It's not like Mary and Joseph didn't mutually support one another, care for one another, tend to one another's needs. It's just that their marriage wasn't sexual, right? In the sense of them engaging in sexual relations. Now, somebody might then press a little bit further on that and say, okay, well then, was their marriage ever consummated? Because clearly we say that part of what makes a couple married is that after the vows, mm-hmm. where they vow to become one flesh, they actually have to become one flesh in sexual union for the marriage to be consummated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, I think it was Pope Leo XIII who said that Jesus was their consummation.
Mm.
And if you think about it, that kind of makes sense because earthly marriage is really a sign of the heavenly marriage. So it's a sign on earth of the marriage between Christ and the church. But in heaven, we have union with Christ. So there's no longer need for the sign.
Mm.
That's why part of the reason why there's no marriage in heaven is because if marriage is a sign of that union, once you have that union, all the signs kind of like, you might want to say, get eclipsed
mm-hmm.
in the rays of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If Jesus is the one uniting them, this mutual giving of themselves for the mission of Christ, and Jesus is in their home, and he is at the center of their marriage, then you could say they already had what marriage was supposed to be a sign of.
Right, yeah.
Because they were living in communion with Jesus. So
yeah. Well, this is great. Great stuff, Dave. Looking forward to our next episode. Thanks for hanging, and have a great day. Talk
awesome.
To you soon.
All right, peace.
All right, peace. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am so glad that you joined us for this episode. Truly informative and very enlightening. I want to remind you to please, please, please share this podcast with as many people as possible. The more people know about it, the more people we can affect and share the beautiful teachings of our Catholic Church. Also, stay connected with us by following us on your favorite social media platform at R4H Podcast. That is the letter R, the number 4, and the letter H Podcast. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel where you could see us on video. So thanks for joining us today. And there's always a reason for hope. This is Mario Costabile. Until next time, peace.